Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to Brett and Cliff's Flea Circus. I am Cliff.
I am Brett. Welcome.
Welcome. How are you?
Welcome all. Yeah. I'm all right, me man.
Good.
How's yourself?
Good. I'm all right. What's happening? I've got a bit of a bad head. That's about it.
Had paracetamol?
I've had brufen. Do they call it that?
That's no good, man. That's for like swelling and that, really, isn't it?
I don't know. I have it dissolved in the water.
You what? Ibuprofen. Ibuprofen is that?
Uh-huh, I think that's it.
Ibuprofen.
I don't know. I'm not sure. There's a packet of white powder, and I mix it with water and drink it. That's all I know.
Oh, do you? No, uh-huh. Well, I thought that was Alka-Seltzer.
I don't know what happened to her. We lost touch a while ago.
All right. I don't know if you noticed, but I'm a bit further back. I've just moved backwards like that, and the headphones have nearly come off. And the I'm swiveling. I'm on a swivel chair, Cliff.
Are you on the chaise lounge?
Oh, well, the wife has become obsessed with space, namely the lack of it. So she smashed it up, Cliff.
Did she smash it up?
She smashed it up.
I like
took
that.
Took it with a tip.
Jane's always having to go at me when there's stuff. I'll be like, well, I'll just throw it off the balcony then. And she gets really annoyed that that's my solution.
Throw it off the balcony.
Obviously, I don't do that. Could do a terrible mischief to somebody down there, but yeah,
like Keith Moon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, he's not here, but I probably would throw him off if he was.
Why? What's wrong with Mooney? Like,
he'd probably be annoying, wouldn't he? After a while, after not very long, probably.
After you try to get in the bath and there was piranhas in there and that
stuff like that. Drive a tank in there over your front garden and stuff.
him and Oliver Reed were neighbours, weren't they? That would have been fun.
But they used to like try and outdo silly pranks like that. Uh-huh. I'm sure there was one with like he airlifted something like a not a life size but a massive T Rex into his garden or something.
it was my wedding anniversary.
I know, happy anniversary. What did you do?
But not much. Storm Babette or Pipette. Okay. Or whatever Storm it was Pipette. Called. Storm Pipette.
I said the word Pipette this week.
Did you? It's not many opportunities you get to say it, is it?
No.
I thought I'd take the opportunity. So put Pipette at any.
Yeah, especially because you had that romantic dinner at the pier planned as well.
Exactly, yes. So we decided to have just like a night in and that with it, you know, pink fizz, all that kind of stuff.
Nice, nice.
And I thought, you know, I'd be lovely. I says, let's watch that Barbie fellow, right? Let's watch that. 3 minutes in, she goes, turn this shit off. She got literally 3 minutes into the film.
I thought it was
and demanded I switch it off. Well, she wasn't having any of it.
What was so your impression of the first 3 minutes?
I was willing to stomach it, to be honest. But, she wasn't. She was having absolutely none of it. Nada. Hey, Cliff, our friend Shane sent us this. I thought I'd read it out to you.
Okay.
It's from John Bon Jovi. This is him talking, okay?
Okay.
Liam Gallagher was giving me nuisance phone calls for over a decade. God knows how he got my number. He would ring at 3 or 4 in the morning just to tell me how shit my music was. Sometimes he would call me the bastard son of Richard Branson, and other times he would just shout Lionhead down the phone until I hung up. In the end, I offered to pay him $500,000 to stop ringing us, and he just told us to eat shit.
What?
Especially like
feud, isn't it?
It is, especially like the fact that he was calling him Lionhead.
Lionhead, yeah.
Isn't that so what a, wonderful?
What a strange setup that is.
It is. Madness. So what have you been doing?
What have I been doing? I've been to Milan.
Oh, yes.
That was quite good. I went for work.
I take it you went for the fashion week.
Of course. I mean, I was the guest star. So yeah, I went for work, but I was there with my mate Richie, and we got to sample some wonderful trattorias. No, we didn't.
Did he get stabbed in the arse?
I didn't get slashed in the arse.
That's a bonus, isn't it?
That was good. There was no pickpockets. I got me eyes taken out by the price of beer.
Did you?
The how much is a pint? Milan, very expensive. We're looking at in the centre where the fancy shops and that are, and the cathedral and stuff, we went to one bar. It said happy hour, €11 for a bottle of birra moretti. It's more expensive than here. More expensive than here. Ridiculous.
That
was happy hour. Imagine what it must have been. That was happy hour. Where we were staying was like a little bit out of the center, and it was pretty cool around there. We found a market that converted into like just a place full of restaurants and bars on a night, like a fruit and veg market. So we went there a few times. It was pretty good. But yeah, I was drinking the drink Campari and soda, or Aperol and soda that you have in an Aperol spritz.
Spritzer.
But they just have it like on its own with some soda water.
And a few wallets. Drinking that.
I think, but it must have something in it that stripped me throat, because I could not speak for 3 days afterwards. I've never had that much of it before. And it was, yeah, my throat was so sore. That
if
and
you were
the
like
fact,
Billy Metz,
I was. That and that literally everybody smokes there. All the time,
yeah.
So
still
very, very popular pastime, and
still these days they do they?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, well. It was. I was going to say frivolous, but I was going to say prevalent.
So it's the Italians and the French who are still smoking.
Mm-hmm, just those guys, I think.
I bet Richie Sunak is tearing his hair out at the very idea, isn't he?
Fucking, I hate that guy.
What a cock! What an absolute cock he is.
But other than that, Brett. I watched the TV show that you recommended, John Carpenter's Suburban Screams.
Yes. You know I'm a lover of John Carpenter.
Well, this does loads for you. This ticks lots of boxes for you, doesn't it?
Well, it's sort of, Cliff, if I'm being honest, because how heavy his involvement in this particular program is, you know, it remains to be seen, I guess. I mean, his name's attached to it, obviously. It's called John Carpenter, Suburban Screams. And he's an executive producer, and he's done the theme.
He directed one episode.
The last one. He did direct the last episode.
You wanted
However,
us to watch.
Do you know that he didn't? He wasn't actually there when he directed that particular episode. He directed it remotely from the comfort of his own home.
Okay. I don't know how that works, but okay.
I don't know how it works either, but that is apparently what happened. So
okay.
I mean, it's the first thing that he has done, you know, film-wise. Obviously, he's done a lot of his music and his albums and stuff like that, but it's the first thing that he's done film-wise since 2010, which is the award. So it's quite a big deal if you're a Carpenter fan, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, and I would have thought you were hoping for it to be a bit better than it is.
Well, the one that we've watched the first episode, which is called Kelly, which is probably the weakest of the
episodes. Is it? Okay. So it was the only one available to me at the time.
It was. I don't know why you want to get your box sorted. I don't know.
Okay.
Why didn't they all just come on at the same time?
I don't know. I don't know. Is it not being released individually?
I got them all in a big bunch. So I've seen them all.
What's the synopsis of the thing?
So it's a very simple synopsis for your ears, Cliff, this week. So John Carpenter basically returns with a new six-part true crime anthology series, which explores various terrors in seemingly perfect small towns.
It's the stuff that a lot of horror stories and TV shows and films are made of, isn't it? Suburban setting where things aren't quite...
He's the king of that. Isn't he? Because Halloween is the ultimate of the suburban horrors, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That was the good thing about that. Well, not the only good thing, but one of them. But there's various episodes about sort of serial killers, which is quite a brutal one, which I've actually seen documentaries on the fella who that was about as well. That was a good one, but it was brutal. There's a part where he's assaulting two women, which is quite brutal. Other stuff, the one that we watched is basically about a ghost and a bloke who contacts the spirit from a Ouija board. The John Carpenter one is about a person who's been stalked, but they're being stalked through the phone and through technology and stuff like that.
Okay.
So that's the one that he's done.
All right.
I enjoyed the one that John Carpenter did.
Yeah.
The best.
So this Kelly one. Mm-hmm. So obviously I haven't seen the rest of them. So the setup of the show is it's like talking heads of people who are involved talking you through what happened back in the day when they lived through whatever this thing is. And then basically a TV show, you're watching a recreation of it, but it's not set up as a dramatization. It's like, those parts are like a film or like a normal TV show.
It's like one of those. I mean, because I actually like these, you know, these type of TV programs, like Evil Lives. If you've ever seen that one, that's a good one. You've not seen that? Well, that's good. So people would have seen these type of things before.
So
whether the format has become tired because people have already seen them and people are a little bit sick of them.
I get why they've done this, and I get why it makes sense. Like you said, there's lots of these kind of true crime shows where there's these dramatizations of the things mixed in with the testimonies and stuff. And who better to get involved with that on this theme than John Carpenter? I get it, but it's not better really than some of those ones from this one that I've watched, you know what I mean? And true crime is massive, isn't it? Since the Jinx and all of those ones that we've talked about before. So it is a huge thing. This is on Peacock, platform. What else have we watched that's on that? There's a couple of things, I think.
Have we?
I've watched stuff on there.
I mean, I don't even know if you can get it in the UK. I mean, if I didn't have my dodgy box, then I don't know if I'd be able to watch it. You know what I mean?
But what else is on
is
there?
Is it a subscription thing? Is it?
It's like a version of Netflix,
Uh-huh.
I've watched, I don't know, the one I'm looking at here, I can't get it here either, but it's got likes of Bates Motel and... the new version of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
But for me, it still shows the draw of John Carpenter. You know, the fact that he's come back and directed, even though he wasn't actually there, which is, I guess, is a bit of a disappointment, but you don't know what's going on in John Carpenter's life, do you?
Yeah.
You know, he might have had to do that. I mean, he's 75, I think, now, something like that. So you don't know what's going on with him. But just to see him back is like, for a fan like me, is massive. And I have seen all of the episodes and they're all watchable. I did enjoy watching it. Obviously, especially the one that John Carpenter directed. This one's, like I say, probably the weakest one
Okay. So my thing with this is, like, I didn't really feel like those people talking were real people. I felt like they were still actors.
Well, do you think that Dan's earrings might have caused you to feel that way? Because he had a number of hooped earrings.
The hoops. He was all for the hoops.
And I get that feeling as well, and there's a big reason for it. And one of them...
Because they're
not. No, apparently they are. I mean, the second episode is about a serial killer that have seen programs in the past. I know it's true. Mm. Because that's what happened, you know, at the start of the show, you get a voiceover from the wonderful John Carpenter.
Yeah.
And it's saying that these are true stories.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think most of them, or even all of them are. I was reading that only one of them can't be verified.
Okay. It felt stagey. It didn't really feel genuine. And the style of the flashbacks or the dramatization, certainly on this one, was a bit cheesy, I thought. But actually, the story's good. I like what it's about. But also, how true can it be when it's about a Ouija board?
Well, that's it. I mean, it's if you actually believe in that. And obviously, it's coming from the point of view of the main sort of protagonist, which is a guy called Dan. Mm-hmm. It's his story.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's whether you believe him or not, isn't it?
I suppose.
But obviously,
so.
At the end, there's the sort of newspaper clippings and stuff like that, which kind of verifies the story.
So what is the story of this one, Brett?
So the story, it starts with a body in a bag, and it's actually a sleeping bag, or it seems to be a sleeping bag, and it's sort of floating down the river, and there's a lady inside the sleeping bag who is alive, but is very soon not.
It's a good opener. Kind of definitely up. A good
opener. It is a good opening. And the story is about a guy called Dan who decides to, you know, contact spirits on a Ouija board with his friends while having beers, and also his girlfriend, who is the cousin of this person in the bag. Mm-hmm. And the person who is in the bag, Kelly, contacts them through the Ouija board. She's obviously passed on, Cliff.
She must have at this point. She was just missing.
Yeah, she's just missing. Yeah. Exactly. The thing is, you know, they're always local. So, like, if you contact a spirit on the Ouija board, right, that they're always just down the street from you. You know what I mean? Is that how the spirit world works?
Is it not, though, that they just hang about? If you were a ghost, would you finally do that trip to Disneyland?
I think you should. I mean, if I was on the Ouija board and I was, like, you know, contacting the spirits, is there anybody there? Mm. Oh, yes. Where are you from? Scunthorpe. I'd say there's no regional bus routes to Scunthorpe. I can't make it. But I don't. That must be how the spirit world works, because Kelly was never in their house. Mm-hmm. So she's not haunting that particular house, is she?
No. She would turn up, though, don't she?
She'd just turn up in a series of hauntings.
Do you think there was some sexual tension between Dan and Kelly?
Between Dan and the dead? Like Jimmy Savile?
Well, the ghost, not the actual corpse.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe. I mean, perhaps.
I thought that's where it was going, to be honest. But
did you?
Yeah.
That would have been interesting. Like the film The Entity. Have you ever seen that?
I haven't seen that, no.
Yeah, the woman in that film doesn't welcome the rest of the spirits.
Oh, okay. Oh, the other way around. I'm saying no. Yeah. Well, what way am I saying? I'm saying, would you fancy a ghost? If one
well, came? You know that. You know Ghostbusters, where Ray gets the blowjob off that ghost. That's fair enough, I think, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, of course. Mm-hmm. Also, is it cheating?
Well, you know, who
I
knows?
Think we know what I think. We know what the wives would say.
I think we know what the wives are saying.
I'm still being punished for something.
We'd just keep quiet about it, wouldn't we?
Yeah, I wouldn't tell you. But I'm still being punished for something Paul in a dream did about 7 years ago. So I'm pretty sure a ghost wouldn't.
Yeah, I get that all the time. Where I wake up in the morning and, like, everything's seemingly fine. But as the day goes on, You're like in the bad, and you don't know what you've done. But it turns out you've been cheating in a dream or whatever. Dream. And you're being punished for it. Happens all the time. Shocking, isn't it? Absolutely.
Barbie wouldn't win you around with that one either.
I know that. I'm sure that's why I put it on. It just backfired. It blew up my face, didn't it?
The show, it kind of, the bits with the Ouija board, and Dan's going a bit mad, isn't he? Like, it's happening. He obviously can't rationalize why it's happening, and he's losing his mind. And he keeps having more vivid interactions with the ghost, and he's kind of, and he's in his talking head, he's saying, "I felt like I needed to help this woman. I'd failed me dad. My dad died, and I'd failed me ex-girlfriend who was a druggie, and." This seemed like it was a chance to save somebody or resolve something. Which, a lot of ego in that statement, I think, that he made it all about him, even though it was a dead woman.
Possibly, quite possibly. I mean, the show is about him, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Fair enough. Fair dues, Dan.
Basically, what happens is she's leading him to a place where he can find the truth. And maybe find they can discover body. The body and all of that.
Yeah. He increasingly becomes obsessed, doesn't he? And he loses his girlfriend because of it.
I thought she was going to be involved at one point because she disappeared, right? I thought she...
Yeah, well, she wasn't very encouraging of the whole thing, was she?
No, she wasn't. Might be his cousin.
Exactly. She didn't want anything to do with it, really. It was all Dan. And I mean, ultimately, you know... He does find the body, doesn't he? The ghost sort of leads him to the river bank, I guess, and sort of it drags him into the water, doesn't it, the ghost? And then he wakes up. Two hikers are there. I've got no idea.
Two hikers pulled him out of the water.
They scoop him out even of the river. They
scoop him up, even though I don't know how that would have happened because he would have been dead, really, wouldn't he? Went in the middle of the night underwater.
You would think so. You would think so. Because he didn't look like awake as they were pulling him out. But there you go. So I mean he does eventually sort of find the body, but he's still not satisfied.
You know,
I mean he's had visions of why it happened and what happened. This girl was into drugs and apparently she was at the river taking drugs with two horrific men and she OD'd. And they thought she was dead, obviously, wrapped her up, chucked her in the river, but she wasn't dead.
Yeah. So that's the version that he kind of sees in his visions through the ghost. But he thought that bit was like really rushed, like the bit where you're watching that bit where you're seeing what happens to her. Probably that's about 45 seconds, and that's like the reveal of the whole thing. So I was a bit like kind of, I wasn't sure the weighting of the different parts of the story. But yeah, it's too around. It looked like hillbilly guy kind of.
Yeah, and they were freaking out, weren't they?
They were probably freaking out,
like and jacking up and all that kind of stuff. I mean, there was one good bit where he was on the Ouija board and he got a vision of her in the sleeping bag, and he just spewed up all over them.
spewed up river water all over. I thought that was my favourite bit as well, actually. It was good.
Yeah, it was good. that was really good. I think if I've got a criticism of it, I think, you know, throughout the whole show, I think the acting isn't the best.
No.
And the other criticism that I have is whenever there's an exterior shot of a house, of a street.
Yeah.
They've got weird CGI.
They've got really weird effects on it, haven't they? Yeah. Bizarre.
I mean, like CGI bats, CGI cats, CGI dogs. At one point, a CGI wolf. It's completely unnecessary.
It's unnecessary.
And it completely cheapens it. Now, to John Carpenter's credit, he has none of that in his episode.
Okay.
You get shot of that completely in his episode,
his executive producer, I'm pretty sure he could have said, "My name's on this. I don't want this fucking thing on it."
Yeah, but then again, it's how much input he's had in it. Do you know what I mean?
Well, because I don't know. I
he wasn't there directing it, for one. He was remotely directing it, you know, in his episode. So you just don't know how much input.
But I think it's a bit like it does cheapen the look and feel of the episodes. I think the overall production looks fairly cheap anyway. Mm-hmm. But I think in turn, the first thing that John Carpenter has put his name on in a televisual or film world for 13 years, it's at risk of cheapening like his stuff as well, right? Because
I don't think so.
He's worked hard to be reappraised as not cheap, schlucky director, and then this looks.
Yeah, but I don't think he gives a fuck, does he?
Maybe he
doesn't. That's the thing about John Carpenter. He just doesn't care. Honestly doesn't care. So
I think it would be better if like you had the. You kind of only. I'd rather just watch the show of the thing, rather than the people talking, and maybe you know there's some shows where at the end you get. Like Band of Brothers is one really good example, very different show. But there's other shows that do that. I feel like that might have been a bit more, I don't know.
Yeah, possibly. But then again, you've got the problem that you don't have the best actors in the world.
No.
To take it off. You know, that was one of the problems of the show. I mean, that sort of weird exterior stuff that we're talking about.
I think the conclusion of the story was that when they found the body, still they just said she had OD'd. But obviously they were like, we don't really know why she's in her back or why she was in her back.
Dan's, you know, he's not happy with the sort of explanation of the police that was in overdose and stuff. He's saying, well, it's still not resolved because why was she in that bag, just as you've just said, you know what I mean?
But like the police report was like, we can't rule murder out, but there's no fucking way we're going to look into it, because what's the point?
Yeah, pretty much. But it's still unsolved in Dan's mind, and you know, that's why he said he was doing this particular program.
Well, I'll definitely watch the rest of them.
I mean, they're perfectly watchable, and some of the episodes. Are really enjoyable, certainly from my point of view, being a massive John Carpenter fan.
Yeah, I'll watch the rest of it, it's all right.
Ultimately, for me, it's just nice to see him back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, Brett, I've got a quiz for you. And time out, you had a go at us for making a quiz is too hard. So this one is called
Obscure.
The Carpenter Quiz, and it's about carpenters. So there's your answer,
right, Jesus. Right?
Well, wait. So I'm going to describe some. They're all men. I don't know if there's any female carpenters, but certainly none that became famous in another field. So that's called the Carpenter Quiz, and I'm going to give you a description of a person, and you've got to tell me who that person is.
Okay. All right? I know of two carpenters.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I've said one.
Well, the first one is a musician, one half of a brother and sister blues duo in the 2000s, but he started his career as a carpenter in Detroit.
See, I was going to say Jack White, but it's not his sister, is it?
Well,
it's his
wife, husband and wife.
See, that's still confusing you, isn't it, Cliff?
Yeah, of course. Well,
is it Jack White then?
It is Jack White, yes.
Right, so
apparently there was a chair. You know, he's always doing weird stuff with his records and that. So
And his hair.
So there was a chair. Somebody had a chair that he made basically before he was famous. And for whatever reason, they looked inside it and there was a record there that he made when he was like 19 or something that he'd hidden in the hope that somebody would eventually find it. And wonder what it was, and it would get played and stuff like that. So he's always doing that weird shit. Right, number two. From exploring space to recovering Nazi relics, this actor was a carpenter before he was famous.
Well, this is the second person that I knew, Cliff, and that would be Harrison Ford.
Mm-hmm, correct. Apparently a carpenter of some repute.
Popular. Yes, aye. A good old chippy.
Okay, widely regarded as the son of God, this man made his money as a carpenter. His final days were somewhat ironic given his profession.
Is it Martin Smith? Oh, no, he was the son of Pele, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was the son of Pele.
I'll go for JC.
Yeah, I think it's Jesus Christ.
Yep, well, you're right. Allowed to abbreviate if you want.
Three out of three. Yeah,
that's not blaspheming, is it?
No, not at all. Good. Right, another actor. Probably famous now for the leading role on NCIS.
But there's millions of NCIS.
No,
ones.
NCIS, not CSI, NCIS.
Oh.
People magazine Sexiest Man Alive in 1986.
In 1986?
Yeah, because that obviously he was already an actor at that point.
Is it that ginger fella?
It's not Caruso, because that is CSI Miami.
But I get confused with them. I don't think I've ever seen NCIS.
I think it's a water one. Nautical CIS. Something like that.
It's an underwater one. Like that Spielberg underwater thing. Remember that? What was that called?
Which one?
Remember that? It was
The Abyss.
No, that wasn't Spielberg, man. That was James Cameron. There was a Spielberg thing with the fella from Jaws. And
Schneider.
Schneider, yeah.
Schneider.
And the boy out of Star Trek Next Generation in it.
Who's the boy?
I remember it. Yeah, the boy?
Will someone.
Will sure something.
Yes,
yeah, can I remember that?
Will sure. Yeah, that's
Will sure. That's
anyway, it's none of them. It's right. It's the actor Mark Harmon.
Mark Harmon.
You know
I
who
don't
he is?
Know him. No. Is he in the Pet Shop Boys or something, is he?
No.
Okay.
Another actor, but a comedic one. Also a bit of a musician. He plays the miserable boss Ron Swanson in the comedy show Parks and Recreation.
See, it's too American for me, Cliff. I don't I don't watch Parks and Recreation.
Oh, well.
So I've got no idea, Cliff.
It's the man called...
John Hughes,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's Nick Offerman. Do you know who that is?
No, but he sounds like some kind of meat dish, doesn't he? Or the offcut of meats.
Offalman. That's right. Nick Offerman.
Yeah,
that's his name.
Yeah, Offal. That's where he is, isn't he?
Well, I think he's a good guy. So I would like you to investigate him a little bit.
Thoroughly.
Just top level.
I'll put him at the top of your list. Because I'm investigating various people as we speak.
Of course. I know you always are.
Yes, of course.
Right. Well, that was a quiz. You got 3 out of 5. I couldn't be fair. They were more obscure the lower I went down the list of famous carpenters. Yeah. That becomes
well, that does still tend to happen, doesn't it? To be honest, you haven't quite got the grasp of the quiz yet, have you? How long have we been doing this?
That
3 years.
Good. I liked it. It was, You wanted the answer, you wanted those questions.
Yeah,
to
but
be.
You've done one thing I asked you to do.
What was this musician before he was a famous musician? The answer, carpenter. That's what you wanted for all of those.
There's a carpenter theme throughout, but you're still delving into obscureness at the end, aren't you? You've even admitted it yourself.
No, what I was saying was...
Denying it now? You just said, when I'm screwed up.
When I went past these, there's no fucking chance you would know who they were. They were
so who are the other famous carpenters there? Karen.
Let me get it up. That's the kind of question you wanted, isn't it?
Yeah, of course, man.
Okay, let me see. Get me get my famous carpenters list back up.
I know Steve Buscemi was a fireman.
Harrison Ford is top of this list. Mark Harmon is second. Jesus Christ third. Unfair on Jesus there.
What? That's ridiculous, isn't
this
it?
This is a site. I don't know if you've ever been this. I've used this for other quizzes before. It's called Ranker. where basically people rank. Well, I think, well, actually, I'm going to vote for Jesus. I'm going to basically vote for Jesus to be a bit higher in this. Adam Carolla, don't know who he is, an American comedian. Never heard of him. Dennis Nick Hoffman, Christopher Spring, Canadian bobsledder.
Christopher
Olympian.
Spring.
Oh, yeah, I could do this one. Ronnie Biggs, the great train robber.
yeah, that would have been a better one, wouldn't it?
Would have added some British in there as well. Other than that, Bernie Sanders.
The chicken politician.
The old politician.
The chicken fella.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
A horrible murderer. I don't think she'll be on the list at all.
Who's the horrible murderer?
It is Richard Hauptmann. Do you know who that is?
No.
German carpenter convicted of the abduction and murder of the 20-month-old son of aviator Charles Lindbergh and his wife Anne Morrow Lindbergh.
Yeah, he sounds like a dickhead, didn't he?
Yeah, that's awful, isn't it? Right. Yeah, and then worse people after that. So that's
worse
that.
People.
Right. Well, thanks for that, Brett. And thanks for a bit of Carpenter back in our lives. The next episode we do is something else close to your heart back in our lives, but we'll come on to that next time.
We will.
Music, Brett. Who we're picking?
Music, yes. Well, we'll go with our good friend Peter Murray on this one, I think.
Pete Flash.
Sick Big Flash, yes, with his new track, Universe. Unfortunately, not Masters of the Universe.
No,
that would have been
it's
good.
Called Universe. Is there not some brackets in there, though?
Well, not that at all. If you think there's going to be any brackets,
I think there is brackets.
Add them to the
Universe
list.
Brackets full of stars.
Oh, full of stars.
Mm-hmm. That's good, isn't it?
And that's a true statement, isn't it?
Yeah, not even like not a reach or anything. It's
that's
true.
Not even a lie from Pete.
No, why would he? Didn't need to lie about that, does he? Universe full of water. Universe full of
Full of life. Full of life. That would have been controversial, wouldn't it? If Pete had said that. But yes,
universe
very good.
Full of sky. Okay. Hey, yeah.
We love the Deep House.
We do. Yeah. It's another good one. Pete, it came out this week as we're recording. We'll put links on Twitter and that. So nice one. See you later.
See you later.
Bye.
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 Bye, man. Universe full of stars.
My universe full of stars.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code Program.